of His glory and grace. Let's do that tonight. Turn our eyes towards Him. Sure, good to be here tonight. Amen. Looking forward to what the Lord would have for us tonight. Brother Donnie's back there, and I'm sure he's ready to bring something to us tonight that be a blessing. We can leave here closer to God than when we came. We've got several prayer requests. I'm going to go through these with you and ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Brother Carter Lawson turns in a request. Said, my sister-in-law has cancer and needs salvation. Keep her in your prayers. Also from Carter Lawson, prophet said, if you can't claim your healing before you get it, God can't use you. I claim mine in advance on my hearing in the name of Jesus Christ. So we just believe with him for that. Prayer for Dakota. She has an infected tooth causing her a lot of pain. That's from Sister Brenda Harmon. Just remember that child. Please pray for my niece, Marcella Moore. She just found out she has cancer. I'm from Alabama and stream your services. That's from Sister Sheila Carnes. Just remember that need. Please pray for Sister Christine Baker, having pain in her right hip. Sister Janet Kennedy shares that her neighbor, Frances Fagan, fell a few weeks ago and has broken her back. She'll be facing surgery soon. Also has a heart condition. Very elderly lady. Her and her husband have been very good to them, and we would just like for everyone to remember them in prayer, both her and her husband. Sister Janet wants to thank each of you for continued prayers, love, and support this heartbreaking time of loss in their family. So let's continue to remember her. Brother Gene Terrell says, I took Jane and to the doctor this week. She answered all the questions the doctor asked, and all the blood work was in the normal range. She's doing the best she's done since her hospital stay. So we thank the Lord for that tonight. Praise the Lord. Please pray for Norma Turner. She's Sister Esep's sister. She's having serious heart surgery Monday. Request our church to pray for her. The prayer request for a brother that's in the message. His name is Tony Templeton in Columbia, South Carolina. He found out he has a tumor in his lungs, and it's doubled in size. Since they found it, the doctor's taking the case before the board there. It'll be at least 2 weeks before a decision is made. He's a strong believer, just asking that God would just help that brother, help his faith. That's from Sister Suzette Reichard, streams our services. This is from Sister Esther Linichek. Said, this happened Monday. I want to thank the Lord for protecting me in a bad car accident in the middle lane of a very busy three-lane road. I was knocked unconscious, and my vehicle was totaled. I wasn't hurt, and the only thing I got from the accident was a little soreness. So praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Appreciate the Lord looking out for us. Brother Terry, if you would come and take these knees to the Lord tonight.
Amen. You know, I was thinking today, when I was in high school, I wouldn't give you a nickel for church. But, you know, today, my whole life is sitting around going to church. What happened? I got a nature change. Aren't you so glad for a nature change? Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, I'm so thankful, Lord. I know when we think about how Brother Bam talked about, you know, we was a cucklebird and, you know, became wheat, but really we was seed to begin with. We realized that. We just had to have a change of that old nature that we were born with. And how thankful we are that we have passed from death into life. You've given us a desire to serve you, to love you, to read, to study, to pray, to be in your house, to stand for righteousness, Lord, to despise evil and to love truth and to love goodness and love one another. As the prophet said, the only really love will be amongst the bride. We're seeing that more and more every day amongst this insane world. Lord, it's getting horrible to horrible every day, but we're getting closer and your presence is getting sweeter. We just love to come to church, hear your word, be in your presence, fellowship around the word. We ask that you would, dear God, come present tonight. We invite your presence into this service. I pray, Lord, for these requests. There's a couple of them, the cancer patient and the person with the tumor. Lord, each one of those serious conditions, but you're an ever-present help in a time of need. And I pray, Lord, as our pastor has studied and prayed and in preparation to bring the word of life, Lord, let it be spiritual food in due season. And may we pull on the gift of God, and may we feed, Lord, because if we're hungry and we just come to church with a hunger and a desire, Lord, it may not be a specific tailored for each and every person, but if we really desire something, we can all get something from the Lord that would help us. We could take home with us, would encourage us and make us better Christians. That's what we desire. This is, Lord, this is our training for that great graduation, and we're looking so forward to that. Father, just meet the need, bless the exhortations, the songs, and all that's done, we'd be careful to praise you. Lord, as the preaching of the word comes forth, let it come forth with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and we'll be careful to praise you that we had once again another opportunity in this land to come to church and worship you. We thank you for that, Lord, with all of our heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Brother Terry. Let's sing about God being good tonight. You want to sing that? We'll sing that song Brother Terry taught us.
Well, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Sing a verse for us. God is good.
God is good
all the time.
All the time.
He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
God is good all the time.
In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
Come tonight. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Brothers can lift the offering for us. Listening, G, Saved by Grace.
Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, and He turned all my night to day. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. Well, I was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me, to turn on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, I'm saved by grace.
Okay, Annie Garvin, I think, has a song for us tonight. This has been a long time. And who else, Brother Larry? And Anna Lynch. Sister Anna, if you would like to come, be getting ready to sing after her. Appreciate our singers tonight.
You wrote and left for me to read. on about every day. Your word comforts me. Thank you for the men you sent to tell me about my future home. I know you went away to build it. I hope it don't take too long. So I'll keep praying, watching and waiting, hoping you'll be back before too long. You know I love you, and I'm thinking of you. So I'll keep praying, watching and waiting for you. I'll keep praying, watching and waiting, hoping you'll be back before too long. You know I love you, and I'm thinking of you. And I'll keep praying, watching and waiting for you. Watching and waiting for you.
To us tonight. Let's sing this song. Aren't you glad he thought you was worth saving? Let's sing that together tonight as Brother Donnie comes. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. Sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth.
Sacrifice your life, I could be. Thank you, Lord. All I know, you thought I was worth saving. Praise God. Amen. Not only worth saving, but worth sanctifying, amen. Worth filling with the Holy Ghost, amen. Worth sending a prophet, amen. Worth preparing thousands of sermons, especially for me in my lifetime. How many sermons you figure the Lord's prepared especially for you in your lifetime? And you think you ain't got no value? Hit yourself in the head with a wet noodle and wake up. God loves you. How many times has God directed men of God to your address? Specifically for you. Amen. I love Him for that, don't you? A couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, whenever I told you the Lord had changed my sermon and I went a total different direction, before I got back to my desk back there, I started getting texts and emails from people. I got it through that day, through the night, up into the next 2 or 3 days thereafter. And every one of them was saying similar to the same thing. God did that just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Just for me. And I love that because He's a just for me God. He's got a way of doing it to where you feel like you're the only one there. And sometimes you are. Aren't you happy to be in church tonight? I want to speak to you tonight on the little fox of rotten thinking. It's going to be good. The little fox of rotten thinking. We're based from Song of Solomon chapter 2, but we'll also look in Ephesians 4. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we're seeing, we're not talking about cussing. We're not talking about people just using foul language, because you wouldn't be doing that if you're trying to administer grace to the hearers. So it's language that is corrupt, that, oh my goodness. Now, most of us are familiar with verse 30. We quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it. But I want you to notice verse 29 that leads into verse 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. What's that got to do with communication and grieving the Holy Ghost? Rotten communication. Rotten thinking produces rotten talk. Many of you probably heard of the sermon that Brother Dwight Hall preached years and years ago. Hung by the tongue. And stinking thinking. I'll tell you, there's more truth to that than probably we recognize, but I hope God will help us tonight to be able to see. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Now, friends, you believe whatever you want to believe. There was a Category 4 hurricane coming toward the East Coast on Wednesday night. Not only us, but saints in different parts of the world were praying. But the next day it went down to a 2. By the time it hit, it was a 1. I believe our God is a mighty God. Amen. I've been in touch with Brother Jason Watkins, Brother Tim Burdett, Brother Fred Mullins, Brother Luke Gibson, different people in South Carolina. And from what I've heard so far, they got a little wet. Brother Fred had a little bit of siding that was blowed off. I mean, they're just an hour from Myrtle Beach, something like that. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our God. I hate it for people, some that have lost their lives and some that have flooded. But let me tell you something. It's another one of the fringe benefits of being a child of God. Amen. It was bad times in Egypt, but God was watching over His people in the land of Goshen. We're not living in any certain locale to where we would call Goshen. Our Goshen is Christ Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, I know scientists and skeptics would laugh at us for believing that God would hear our prayers. But that's why we pray. Because we believe You do. We've seen You do so many wonderful things. It'd be for us a sin for us not to believe that You hear our prayers. Father, I pray tonight as we endeavor to open Your Word. May You help us, Lord Jesus. I ask You, God, that You would help me to get out of the way. That You can flow through me, Father. To be able to speak the words of God, the words of life. Lord Jesus, we're asking for those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that are fighting battles of stress and duress in their home, their family, whatever it is. May You lead me tonight, Lord. May you direct me, dear God. Help me that I can be sensitive, Father. You see, I place scriptures and quotes and things down here, Lord, but help me that I'll be so sensitive to the Holy Ghost that if someone has a need out of the confines or the boundaries of which I've studied, make me sensitive, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to be able to flow in that direction, to speak to maybe one hungry heart, Lord. Dear God, we love you so much. Speak to us tonight, your great words, Father. Thank you for your kindness. We pray you continue to watch over your people, Lord, in these days of trouble. Be with us, Father, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Well, you know, these little foxes on their own, they're really not that bad. It's not that they are so powerful. It's not that they have such great influence on their own. You take them, isolate them, pull them out by themselves, it'd be so little that they really could do. But it's who their master is. You see, it's not them as an individual that would really bring such devastating results on the lives of humanity. But when you go to looking at their master, then you're looking at a complete different being. I'm talking about a being that Ezekiel 28 identifies in a prophetic sense, son of man, speaking to the king of Tyre and prophesying. We know that the prophet tells us in Question Answers 59 that God was actually speaking to the devil inside the king of Tyre. Ithbaal was his name. And Satan had so been able to get a prefigure in the life of this man in the seat of the coming Antichrist that God could speak to him in the first person. And he says, take up a lamentation against him, that he is the prince, he is the king of Tyrus. But it was the indwelling of the presence of Satan. As a matter of fact, he so embellishes it prophetically, Ezekiel does, that he says he was in the garden of God. Every precious stone was his covering. The sardis, the topaz, the carbuncle, on and on and on he goes. And he said, thou hast said in thine heart. And he goes to even giving us the very words that Satan had said before the foundation of the world. This is why today that God hates pride and arrogance. It was not that Satan had a cigar in heaven or a fifth of liquor. It was his pride. He got too big for his britches. You see, God hates that same spirit today where we get too big for our britches, or in the sister's case, too big for your dress. You see, God despises such arrogance and pride. And whenever God began to address this being in Ithbaal, he addressed him and said he was wiser than Daniel. Oh, wiser than Daniel. Now what's amazing is that Ezekiel runs the parallel between this headship of Satan, which is in King Ithbaal, and the greatest prophet of God. I'm not sure if you know it or not, but Daniel was actually on the earth at the time of Ezekiel's prophecy. As a matter of fact, Daniel was in a great position in the time this prophecy was made. So he runs a parallel from Ithbaal, which is the king of Tyre, and he compares the greatness of Daniel. Now, if you read Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 5, Daniel 9, you'll find many different excerpts in the Bible that refer to the great wisdom and the understanding and the influence of the prophet Daniel. But in comparison to the embodiment of the spirit that was in Ithbaal, he was even greater than Daniel. And let me say, say to you tonight, friend, this enemy that you and I face in this hour, he's greater than you. He's greater than me. He's greater than you. Oh, we'll look at the little foxes that try to come against us and act like we're in control and think we're in control. You might have enough power to overcome that little fox. But you're not just so much dealing with that little fox, but you're dealing with the master of that fox. That's what makes him so detrimental to the lives of many individuals. Now, whenever God began to address this great thing, can you imagine what a thing to compare him to? That he was greater and wiser than Daniel. No secret can be hid from thee. No secret can be hid from thee. We're talking about a being that is so in tune with the program of God that God meticulously has to hide mystery secrets down through the ages lest Satan would figure them out. So do you and I think we can overcome him? Come on, get real. Oh my. But yet, with the power of God living in us, we are greater than him. We've got more ability now within ourselves. We cannot do it, of course, with our understanding, our wisdom. But we're not going to have to face this battle on our own. But we will face it by the impregnation of the Word of God living in our souls, quickening us to eternal life. But I want to paint this before you so you can see that this little fox, whether it be the fox of temper, fox of pride, fox of arrogance, fox of worldliness, fox of unbelief, whatever fox that it would be, that little fox isolated out from under the headship from the power of his master, well, my goodness, you wouldn't even really have to be born again to be able to meet it. Intellectually, the mind of man has been created in such a whelm of God that the Spirit of God imparted to the human being such great things. Our body isn't just made up with the molecular structure of cells and molecules and muscles and all that sort of thing. But God actually made your body and created your body with chemicals inside your body that come from the neurons, and they fire and spike up the positive thoughts in your body. For a person being able to produce one thought can produce enough power in their body that would have more power than $1 million worth of chemotherapy. You understand that your body produces leukocytes, which is similar to the very things they use to treat cancer patients with. Your body produces chemicals that are very near to Valium. Your body produces chemicals that are very much like Prozac. Where do you think they get all this stuff at? They get it from the great scientist himself. Don't you understand why Satan is doing everything he can do to be able to get to the minds and to the habits of human beings? Because he is the mad scientist on the other side of the board. That's right. So against him, why, there's no way we'd even be able to hold him alive, Brother Terry. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we cannot do it by ourselves. But God gives us very, very simple things in order to be able to empower us to be able to meet this great enemy. Now, this little fox of rotten thinking. My, let's uncover him tonight, shall we? I want you to notice now, let's go back to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication, look at this word corrupt, rotten, putrefied, corrupted by one and no longer fit for use, worn out, of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, or worthless. Now listen, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, as I said again, this is not just necessarily cussing. This is not necessarily things like that. But if you look at the words that Paul uses, he said, don't use corrupt logos, words that have moved out of season, words that no longer are applicable for the time you live. Notice this, let no corrupt communication, look at the word communication. Oh my, logos, 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 words, saying, account, speech, a kind of style of speaking, reason, the mental faculty of thinking, mediating, reasoning, or calculating. So when a person uses a word that is out of season, in other words, for us to preach today the message of Luther, listen to me, it is corrupt communication. It is worthless to us. We take the truth of what Luther preached on justification, but Luther didn't have one streak of the understanding of justification, what the bride has now. Justification is not, it's not, you never even done in the first place. So for those who try to reintroduce the message of Pentecost or the message of the Baptist doctrine or this or that into the new word of the day, it is a corrupt communication. Those who emphasize on gifts, those who emphasize, come on now, I don't want to just emphasize on gifts. I want to emphasize on the giver. Gifts are wonderful. Praise God for gifts. But give me the giver and I'll get the gifts. But you can't have the gifts without the giver. Notice, let no corrupt or worthless or that which is worn out, something that you're using, actually logos, that you are using, yet it is worn out. How can God's word ever become worn out? Well, in the sense that it becomes outdated because it moves into another era and the former understanding of that word has no longer the power in it that is needed to put Satan to flight. You see, those who use the word of God, and they use the word of God, and yet it seems powerless in their life, you need to go back and check it, because God's word always works. If your application is in the right light of the hour, and the power of God is in you, because when you take that word with the power of God in you, and place that word on your lips, it's the same as deity speaking. But it don't work that way unless you have the indwelling presence of deity inside your soul. So you can quote the word, quote the word, quote the word, and it does not mean that it will act unless deity lives in you. Then the same one who spoke that word lives in you to bring that word to pass. Now, so we're not then to let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So now, then we look at it that Paul is addressing an aspect. Now, we know that corrupt communication could involve so many things. It can be about a move. It can be about an age. But more critically, it can be about you as an individual, that your confession is, I'm no good, I'm rotten, I'll never amount to nothing. Well, that runs in my family. Everybody in my family is this way and that way and the other way. That is corrupt communication. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, what if it's the truth? You're glad to believe one or the other. Why not believe God loves you? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every mortal that comes upon this earth will stand before God. Don't you understand why? That people will stand before God and they will be judged. And many of them have never heard sermons like you've heard over and over and over again. But they will be judged simply because of one act of creation that God deposited in them as a mortal. And that was that craving and that desire in them for total satisfaction and extreme pleasure. There's something in every human being that has a conscience and a right to choose right from wrong. There's something in us that we want pleasure. There's something in us that we want to have peace. And we want that creation come from Almighty God. God will not judge many of the masses of humanity on the earth because they listen to 900 tapes and turn them down, or they stream 500 of our services or some other man. No. The simple creation of something inside of them, and anything you and I use to try to satisfy that is sin within itself, because we're trying to use something external apart from deity to satisfy what deity placed inside of us, and it is a sin. I don't care if it's this, if it's this, if it's this, whatever it is, it's a sin, because you're trying to use something else to satisfy what God placed in your soul. What are you talking about, Brother Donnie? A longing for happiness, a longing for peace, a longing for satisfaction. And what do people do? Drink. They drink. They carouse. They run around. Why? That very sign inside of them will judge them at the day of judgment. Well, praise the Lord. No,
Now, notice in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus speaking, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Praise the Lord. Now, but can from the same spring, according to James, out of the same spring, out of the same mouth, can come good communication and evil. A person can be in church and worship God and shout and praise God and walk right out of the door and bump into the person that they don't like at church. And then praises turn to, I can't believe of all people I had to bump into her. You just got through praising Jesus and loving Him and worshiping Him. Then you got in your car and told your husband, what happened? I cannot believe. You believe it? I run into her. Her who? You know. Praise the Lord. Preach, brother darling. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. Now, the disciples, most of them were Pharisees. So they were the Pharisaic belief and Pharisaic understand. They're very, very strict, very legal, hypocrites, snakes in the grass. Rotten, sorry, low down hypocrites, but legal hypocrites. Oh, they'd go out and rub people, you know, rub shoulders with the people. But boy, they'd come to eat lunchtime. They'd go back home and they'd wash plum up to their elbows. If they had touched a Gentile or touched some unclean person, they'd change their clothes before they ate and kill the Lord Jesus. Religious hypocrites. So most of the disciples then come to the Lord Jesus with this Pharisaic understanding of such legalism. Now, you know, the Lord had told them about eating things and taking things into the body. Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Now they're looking at, of course, foods and this and that or the other they couldn't eat. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile. So you mean your mouth can defile you? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands? I mean, they've got a major problem because Jesus was out, you know, doing whatever. And Jesus got a little hungry, so he just reached over and grabbed a piece of bread. And just, you know, oh my God. No. Oh God, have mercy. What's my daddy going to say? What's Uncle So-and-so going to say? Jesus, eat bread with dirty hands. Well, it's dirt eating dirt, ain't it? After all, that's what you are, right? Dirt. That's why I call y'all dirt bags, because that's what you are. But Jesus wanted them to see actually the greater defilement that he come to change by the new birth is a defilement that proceeds forth from the inside, not just so much by eating with dirty hands. Notice James 3:6. Boy, James had a powerful understanding. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. Preach, Brother Donnie. Now, you know, what a thing for a man to liken a tongue to a fire. Now, he didn't say, you know, that the tongue is like a fire. Brother Fred, the tongue is similar, but he said the tongue is a fire. But now, fire can be very useful. Fire can cook your food. It can warm you. It can help you in so many ways. That same fire can burn down your house. That same fire, you the coast of a campfire and you're making s'mores and more, you're just having the best time that ever was, and you're not paying no attention to what you're doing, and you fall in and you get burned. The same fire that was causing that ooey gooey marshmallow to melt and run right down on the graham cracker and causing the chocolate to be able to smear down on top has just now burned a third degree place in your hand. The very same fire. James said the tongue is a fire. Praise God. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Oh my goodness, to say our tongue is fire is bad enough, but then he goes and says that it's actually set on fire of hell. Boy, you saints are quiet. Praise God. Do we want to get rid of this old rotten thinking or not? I'm trying to show you, you got to make a connection here now. So the tongue is a fire, and the tongue is set on fire of hell. Well, praise be to God. Now you realize what a lot of folks do in this day on Facebook. They're just eliminating the fire of the tongue, but they're projecting from the tongue what they're putting up and posting all their garbage without ever saying it. But they will tell you that face to face if you really want to hear it. Now, notice this, Job 31:29. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. Now, notice how Job is digging in to the very conscience of man, how that man has the ability within himself, even though he might be a good man, yet to be able to look at someone who's going through a terrible time. Ah, God's getting back at them. I'll tell you one thing, boy. They laughed at me and they didn't like me when I done this and that and other. God's getting back at them. God's getting them. It's amazing how that works and folks have difficult times. God's getting back at them. When you have the same trouble come to you, you're having the office trial that ever was. God's trying your faith. Make up your mind, would you? Do you understand? Your mouth can sin by wishing evil on people. Praise God. Psalms 39:1. To the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David, I said, I will not. I will take heed rather to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth. Whoa, boy. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, boy. I'm sorry some of y'all didn't know this is in the Bible. I can tell by the way you live, you didn't know it was there. Praise the Lord. You know there's all kinds of bits for horses. Really, the bit used for a horse is determined by the horse itself. Depending on what type of horse you have, cutting horse, riding horse, depending if it's a gated horse, certain types of horse you might want to use, the hackamore. Anybody know what a hackamore is? Some of you brothers do, sisters. But, you know, really, when you look at it, it will be determined by the type of animal that you have. And really, the type of bit that we need in our mouths is according to the size of animal in us. I want to be the kind of Christian that God can take a spaghetti noodle and run it in a long well. Right joint. Left joint. Up joint. Down joint. Right joint. And all it is a piece of spaghetti. But you see, for some of us, it's the hardest metal known to man. About that big around, about that long. and he takes it out of your mouth and hits you over the head with it on occasion. So a person can sin with their mouth. How many believes this? I'm giving you scripture now. That I sin not with my tongue, I will keep, which means guard, watch over, protect. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. You see, some horses who's lost the sensitivity in their mouth, maybe they've been a horse on the track, maybe they've been a horse that's, you know, for whatever reason, they lose the sensitivity right here in the corners of their mouth. So when they do, they don't really pay no attention to that pulling. So they make various bits. One of them is something that'll come across their nose. And it's not actually something in their mouth, but it strikes across their nose. And whenever you want to stop them, if they don't want to stop, you tighten up on that bit and it cuts off their breathing. I knew a guy in Kentucky that had a pacing horse. You know what a pacer is? It comes off the tracks and Red Mile and Lexington and different places. They hook them up to a two-wheel buggy. They can pace about 45 miles an hour. Well, this guy, he was an avid horse rider, knew a lot about horses and ride around him, but he got one that was wild, a Timbuktu Indian. He got that thing out there. That horse went through three or four fences, went through a tobacco patch, corn patch. I don't know what, all him hollering and screaming, trying to get that horse slowed down. That's the way some of our natures are. Whoa, 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 I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. I'll tell you one thing, it didn't take him riding it twice or three times, he sold it the same day. That's what you need to do to your old stubborn, rebellious nature. If that old nature of yours is keep leading you into trouble, you need to take it to the altar and say, God, kill this old stubborn thing. Now, what you notice now, the reason David says this, I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. Lest I say something out of cater, lest I say something in harsh judgment. There's a time to bless and a time to curse. Praise the Lord. Notice Ecclesiastes 5:5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Now you keep talking about how bad you need things of the world. And I guarantee your body will walk right into them. Oh, I've got to do this and I have to have that and I've just got this. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. Look what you're doing. You are telling yourself. You are saying it out loud and yourself is hearing you say it. I've got to have this and I need that. I know Brother Donnie preaches against this and that and other, but Brother Donnie don't understand. Brother Donnie don't know. Oh, he's been saved all his life. No, he don't know. That's right. I don't know. But my God knows everything you have need of. And look at what your mouth can do. It can talk you right into a backslidden state. I'm not sure I believe the word no more. I'm not sure that I believe in healing. I'm not sure. Do you know what you're doing? You're blowing your brains out spiritually. You're cutting your throat. And your mouth is fixing to cause your flesh to sin. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Notice again Psalms 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. One good thing I really like about that scripture is, though, that there is a door. Praise God. Notice Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Friends, are these things important? Can you imagine if you keep your mouth, you keep your life? Whew. I don't know that I have ever had such a time in my life try to put a sermon together as this one right here tonight. I see why now. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Praise God. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power. Do you understand? Most of us would be better off if we talked about 90% less than what we do. Friends, if we believe these scriptures, right? If I stop right now, we go to Dairy Queen. If we believe these scriptures that I've read you tonight, it will change our lives. Life and death are in the power of my tongue. Life and death are in the... This is what we fight for. Is it not life? Every human being, whenever I've seen them down with cancer, I've seen them with awful diseases, I've seen animals in Africa and different places as you hunt them and you watch them, they struggle, whether it's a deer or a turkey or a chicken that you're trying to kill for supper. It struggles to live. It don't want to die, and we struggle to live. We fight to live and we don't want death, and yet both of them lay right there. Not in vitamins, not in supplements, not going to the homeopathic doctor and then this doctor and that doctor, but in your tongue is the power of life and death. Oh, my, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Don't paste these on your refrigerator. Put them on your forehead. Put them on your phone. Put something on your cell phone that's worth keeping. Come on. Get rid of that basketball star on your screen and get rid of this and that and the other. Put these things on your smartphone, smart person. Oh my, Matthew 12:34. All generations of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good thoughts? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Perisuma, in which one delights. Abundance is in which one delights. Of that which fills the heart and that which is left over. You see, whatever's there in your heart, and if you feed on carnality, if you feed on worldliness and the things of the world, out of the abundance or the runoff of your heart will come doubt and fear and frustration and unbelief. But if you're feeding on the good things of God, amen, you're feeding on the Word of God, you're feeding on the things you ought to be feeding on as a child of God, the runoff out of your mouth, amen, ought to be the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord, not your mistakes, not your failures. Well, there's so many hypocrites that go to church. What's that got to do with you? I know those hypocrites that come to our church. I ain't coming for the hypocrites. I'm coming for the saints. Who knows? I might even get some of them hypocrites saved, so I'll keep trying. Well, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain, empty, devoid of truth, empty-handed, without a gift. So a man who keeps mouthing, saying the word, but has no gift. Vain words. Metaphorically destitute of spiritual wealth, of one who boasts of his faith as a transcendent possession, yet is without the fruits of faith. I'm this and that and the other, and I'm this and that, and but yet there's really no fruit. Come on, Happy Valley. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Seasoned with salt. Now, he's talking about you carrying around a salt shaker and every time you say something. But this salt is metaphorical. Now, you remember to an Oriental, salt was their saving and keeping. They didn't have deep freezes. They did not have things where they could dry stuff out like jerky and all that. But salt was their preservation. So here Paul says, let your conversation, let your confession, let your logos, your communication, let it be seasoned with salt. What is salt? The keeping power of your conversation. So anything that salt won't keep, keep it out of your conversation. Well, I'm no good. I'll never amount to nothing. Salt won't keep that. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this, faith without works, the prophet said, go thanking God, saying, praise you, Lord, praise you. Don't never have no negative testimony. Testify positive, Jesus has healed me. I'm well. Not Jesus is going to, Jesus has. I'm well. Amen. Go and you will, notice, you will receive your healing. Now you go saying, I'm well. But so far from the discernment of this individual, they was not well yet as far as symptoms was concerned. God's going to match, make their body match their confession. Oh my. He said, go and you will receive your healing. Oh glory. Say, praise be to God. You say, what difference does that make? Brother Donnie's saying it that way. Well, I don't feel no better. I had Brother Donnie to pray for me. And then I had Brother Terry to pray for me. And then I had Brother Darrell to pray for me. That didn't work, so I wrote the smiley preacher down in Texas and had him to pray for me. And then I called so-and-so on their prayer line. I had to give them $50, but I thought it might be worth it. I've had every preacher in the country to pray for me, and I ain't no better off. I don't understand what in the world is going on. I don't think God loves me. Oh, blabbermouth. It's your own mouth. It ain't my face. It ain't Brother Darrell's face or Brother Terry's face. We cannot help you above your conversation. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on them. Revolve them in your mind. Feed. Amen. Repeat them. Say it over and over again. Praise God. I just read you one of the greatest New Testament scriptures on mental health. Folks, look, we've got a lot of spiritually, mentally ill people. Spiritual, now remember, spiritually, mentally ill. Their mind is always on how bad everything is. But there are healthy thoughts we ought to think. I'm not just talking about your body neither. I'm talking about spiritual health. Notice Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Listen to this. Perfect peace. What would that be worth to you tonight? To get a good dose of perfect peace. I've got the answer for you. Free of charge. No doctor's visit. No CT scan. No MRI. Won't have to wait in line. Leave your name or number. We'll call you back. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, anchored, living right there, stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, y'all just sat there and said, amen. Amen. Yeah, you'll go to Amazon and look for some CQ10Y504. It come off of some pod that somebody found down in the Brazilian jungle. They had to go back through all the monkeys and all the animals back there. And it's a rare, rare stuff. $79 a bottle. And they've got all these reviews. I had depression. I had this and that and the other. Somebody else said, don't you buy this stuff. It's a scam. Oh, I need help. I need help. I'll do anything. No, you won't. You won't try the surest, most proven way there is. But you swipe on the bottom of your phone and you get a bottle of CQ10 and then the bottle of BY504 and then you get a BR549 and you get a little bit of a coenzyme and a little bit of chlorophyll and chloroform and formaldehyde and whatever more. God, I need help. God, I need help. I'm offering it to you tonight, saints. I am offering not my help. I don't have it, but my God has it. Faith without works is dead. All right, bring the lady. You believe with all your heart, believe Jesus Christ makes you well right now. Go thanking God, say, praise you, Lord. Praise you. Don't never have no negative testimony. Testify positive. Jesus has healed me and I'm well. Go and you will receive your healing. Now remember, it has not manifested itself physically in her body, but he's given her the CQ10. He's giving her the Malachi 4:5-6, Luke 17:30. He's giving her what to do. Praise yourself into that well body. All right, come young man. What do you think about this? You believe it? You believe that nervousness is going to leave you? You believe it has left you? You believe Jesus Christ takes it away from you? Then he has. Amen. God bless you. Go. I mean, it can be that simple. That simple. Position of a believer. So we want to change from hope today to positive faith. And there's only one way you can get positive faith. Listen to this. That's by positive thinking of positive things. Brother Donnie, I'm faithful to church. I come to church, I say amen, even when you burn me up, and I say amen to the word, and I'm still down. But are you doing this? Positive faith comes by thinking on positive things. This is not mind over matter. This is not Norman Vincent Peale. You get to thinking about divine healing. Get to thinking about Christ. Keep him on your mind. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible said, think on these things, and if any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be so. Get it off of your mind right quick. Think on things as positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts, keep your thoughts positive. Jesus. That's the consummation of all your positive thoughts that you want, Jesus. Don't think sitting there in a wheelchair that you're hopeless and helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. You imagine a person sitting there in the wheelchair and the discernments, if you'll follow this, the discernments come through, call this one out, that one, and never call them out. And there they're sitting and they're sitting there, no doubt thinking about it, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. But he said, don't never let that pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind. Brother Donnie, you have negative thoughts? Yes. Every day. But I refuse to let them little foxes stay. You do too? You say, I ain't got no power in my mind. You're believing a lie of the devil. Drag out your shotgun. Problem of it is, some of y'all reach in your pocket for your shotgun, you drag out a video game. Well, you can try popping him with that, but that ain't going to help you. Come on, church. Woo! Oh, my goodness. You can't help it from going through your mind. That's right, but don't let it stop like the old farmer said. I can't keep the birds from flying over my place. But it had a double-barrel shotgun. And he said, I can sure keep them from roosting. Praise God. So do the same thing. And you too, see, don't let them roost. Let them pass right on through. Here's the shotgun to use, both New and Old Testament. It's a double barrel. Very good too, I'll tell you. It keeps them all away. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But that little rotten fox. Some of you, while I'm preaching right here tonight, you're sitting there fighting him. Under an influence and an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, you're sitting there struggling. Well, that ain't true. How could that be true? And I can't help this. You're believing a lie of the devil. If you cannot help it, it means you're demon possessed. And if you are, come here and I will cast it out. If you want it out. So what's your excuse now? Hey, look, you're coming to a church where we believe in supernatural. And if you don't get it, don't blame me. Oh my, you sit in church and think about everything else but God. How are you going to do your washing? What are you going to do in the office tomorrow? How are you going to do this or that or the other? Keep your mind off of that and think on God. The Bible says if there's any praise, any virtue, think on these things. Wonder if I call the prayer line. Wonder if God will speak. Don't think that kind of negative thought. You imagine that's a negative thought? Is God going to speak or not? That's negative. That's corrupt communication. Don't think that kind of negative thought. Don't let it go through your mind. Make every word positive and every thought positive. See it? Oh my. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely on Him. Never use your own mind. Take His thoughts. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, that's heavy duty stuff. What do you figure the devil's doing? He's doing the same thing. He's taking his thoughts of marriage and projecting into people's minds, and the devil's thoughts become theirs. What happened in the Garden of Eden? He projected his thought and spoke it, and Eve heard it. Eve pulled it into her mind, and they become her thoughts. And she become his thoughts manifest. Take his thoughts, let his thoughts be your thoughts. I love this. And take them. Now for those of you who say, well, I ain't got the Holy Ghost, this blows you plumb out of the water. Take them into your carnal mind. And repeat them over and say, oh God, take all my doubt away. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. Taking these thoughts into a carnal mind. And you sick people do that as we're speaking. Cast away the thought of sickness. Take God's healing thought. God's thinking healing in this service tonight. God's thinking deliverance. God's thinking help. What are you thinking? Praise God. Let them become your thoughts. Think upon these things. The Bible said if there be any praise, if there be any virtue. Notice again, greater than Solomon. While I'm praying and speaking, I want every person in here to have this in your mind. And as soon as prayer begins to go for the sick, every one of you is going to get up and walk out of the building well. Don't have nothing else in your mind. Keep thinking that. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. Brother Brad, let's jump over several pages past the scriptures. Recent research has shown that our thoughts can provide relief beyond superficial and temporary. When you consider the average human being, now remember this is science, this is doctors and psychologists and all them people. The average human being thinks of approximately 60,000 thoughts per day. The impact our thoughts have on both our mental and physical health becomes clear. A single positive thought has the potential to produce over $1 million worth of cancer-fighting chemical. The power of positive thoughts has been proven to strengthen the immune system. Lower stress levels. Man, I need a double whammy on that. I figure I ain't the only one here tonight. How many feel stress? And thereby combating stress-related diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, psychosomatic illnesses, and certain forms of cancer. The emerging field of psycho... I ain't gonna try it. I might say something bad. You don't tell what I'd do with that word. Another reason I ain't a doctor. Notice, studies the connection between the neurological and immune systems and is expanding scientific knowledge of the link between our thoughts and our health. What I love about this is Brother Branham was telling people this in the 50s. They just finding it out in the 2000s. Such a connection has been demonstrated by many case studies demonstrating the placebo effect, which occurs when a patient believes the treatment he or she is receiving will indeed relieve the pain. And it does. Such positive and potent thoughts release natural chemicals called endorphins, which contain the powerful cancer-fighting chemicals interleukin and interferon. Can you imagine your own body produces these chemicals? No wonder what the prophet said, Brother Gene, that if you had cancer, if you didn't fear it. Oh, praise be to God. If you were to buy the anti-cancer drug, interleukin 2, manufactured by Chiron Corporation with the brand name Proleukin to treat cancer, a full course would cost you upward to $40,000 plus a long list of side effects. The power of positive thoughts, on the other hand, are a natural alternative to cancer drugs and could make $1 million worth of interleukin 2. According to Deepak Chopra, ND, and the best part of that is there's none of the side effects that accompany drug use. And they cost nothing. From this place on, I'm not responsible for my actions. Thoughts are physically real. They cause biological and physiological effect. Dr. Larry Dossey explains the fundamental principle behind the surprising effects of placebos. The body responds to mental input as if it were physical real. Images create bodily changes. Images create bodily changes. Oh, we shall be changed. Just as if the experience were really happening. When you think peaceful and tranquil thoughts, your body, specifically your leukocytes, adrenal cells, and macrophages will start producing a tranquilizing biochemical similar to Valium. Whoa. Is that cool? Wow. Do you understand? God has made you as a human being. You're a walking pharmacy. Unlike the drug manufactured by Hoffman LaRouche, which comes with side effects, some potentially serious. The tranquilizing chemical produced by the body has no side effects and supports the proper functioning of the immune system. Another good reason to come to church. Man alive, you sit in church and you hear the word preached and you're in the right frame of mind and you go to hearing good songs and all of a sudden your volume's kicking in and your leukocytes and all them tribites and all the rest of them ites and all them things going on. My land, when you walk out there, you're like a Walgreen. Whoa! You say, praise the Lord, I feel better. And you're wondering what in the world happened to you. If the word of God can do that just to our mind, will not that word of God change our bodies? Yeah. Research suggests that thoughts are powerful enough to be perceived as physical objects. Harry, when I read this, my mind went to the quote in the Church Age book that God's thoughts are real. They are material. Take the findings of Dr. Giuseppe Joseph Calargius. 19th century doctor in his doctoral thesis, Thoughts Do Heal, concluded that a thought leads to actual physical sensation. This mind-body connection manifests in specific organs which are linked to emotions. Thoughts trigger emotions which activate organs which in turn affect our health. Therefore, we hold in our power the ability to transmute our thoughts into positive ones, thereby creating a cascade of endorphins that deliver beneficial healing effects. Can I have a few more minutes on my thesis? A study published in 1990 found that negative thoughts increased pain sensations. 185 people suffering from chronic pain, sickle cell anemia, and rheumatoid arthritis were studied to see how negative thoughts affected their pain and vice versa. Those who thought negatively and had a lot of negative self-talk reported not only more pain, but also greater psychological distress. Patients suffering from chronic pain tended to have more negative thoughts during the painful flare-ups than those suffering from intermittent pain caused by arthritis and sickle cell anemia. As you can see, pain may bring on negative thoughts, but negative thinking makes the pain worse. Look what an enemy we're talking about. A devil that puts sickness and affliction on you and then causes you to think negative thoughts, which makes even spiral worse. According to the Mayo Clinic, negative thinking that leads to stress can wreak havoc on your body. When your worries and anxieties turn into stress, the following symptoms may set in. Physical symptoms, muscle tension, muscle pain, headaches, chest pain, sleep problems, insomnia, digestive problems, fatigue, emotional symptoms, mood changes, anxiety, restlessness, irritability and anger, depression or sadness, lack of focus and motivation. Just from negative thinking. Change in appetite, either over or under eating, abuse of alcohol or drugs, social withdrawal, outbursts of anger, tobacco, nicotine use. Whew. Praise the Lord. Did anybody see which door the devil crawled out of? Let me have a few more minutes, shall I? Now, let me make sure that you understand what positive thinking is, even from the medical standpoint. Positive thinking isn't the same as trying to gloss over the negative things in life or ignore your problems. Positive thinking is approaching the challenges life throws at you with a positive attitude. Instead of getting negative and worrying about a challenge, positive thinking will help you approach that problem with an attitude of how can I make the best out of this situation. When you find yourself in a situation, your mind tends to explain it to you. It gives you the explanation of why something has happened. And the way you explain it indicates where you are a negative or a positive person. So if you listen to yourself, talk to yourself will tell yourself what kind of yourself you are. Praise be to God. Now let me close with this. There are a surprising number of benefits offered by positive thinking, and you'd be amazed. Boost immunity. Did you know that stress can reduce your body's natural immunity to disease? Positive thinking helps to fight stress, thereby preventing it from messing with your immune system. In fact, positive thinking has actually been found to boost your body's ability to fight off disease. Your heart is surprisingly a delicate organ considering all the hard work it does. And both stress and anxiety can mess with your heart function. However, positivity can lower your risk of heart disease. You can pop all the baby aspirins you want to, and you're negative as a gutter head. I'll tell you one thing. You can take a truckload of baby aspirins every day. It ain't going to help you much. You need to do some changing up in your head. Go ahead and take your baby aspirin. Take all these things that help you. But don't leave out something that, remember, the same science that made you the baby aspirins are now breaking into this. You understand this has just happened in the last decade or so? That they have broke into the mind-body understanding? Oh, glory. Why? Well, the bride's fixing to take a new body by the mind of Christ. They're always behind. But they're now beginning to catch up and realize that there is a link between what you think and what you say and the way you live. Wow, you imagine. Positivity can lower your risk of heart disease, including stroke and heart attacks. People who think positively tend to exercise more, eat healthier, and live happier lives. Stress can lead to all kinds of health problems. Not only are there health problems caused by stress, but nearly every disease and disorder on the planet is made worse by anxiety and stress. Positive thinking can help manage stress. Well, praise God. Thereby preventing a wide range of health problems. So I'd say we blow this little fox away. Hold your double barrel right on anywhere you can get him. And blow that stinking thinking. That corrupt communication. Will it happen overnight? Of course it won't. Many of you have been years in building this negativity where you are. But if you want free, you want help. Look, friends, I've dealt with people enough to know. Many folks would rather have sympathy than they would deliverance. They would rather have sin in their life than they would to be free. Some folks would rather keep just a little bit of sickness and a little bit of something. That, you know, they wouldn't want to say, how you doing? They wouldn't want anybody to say, I'm doing great. It's like, Lord God. She's doing great. My Lord, the rapture's near. He's doing great. I never heard him say he's doing great. It wouldn't be awful to have that reputation. You know why? You're spitting out this corrupt communication. Well, how you doing with it? Well, I'm better with that. But boy, my rheumatoid, I'll tell you what, my lumbago and my big toe, got gout in my big toe. Oh, man, alive. I got a root canal. I've got off a bunch of stuff. Well, I love you, brother. Oh, I'll see you. Be praying for you. And you better not be too positive around people like that because they think they ain't got no heart. You ain't concerned. Brother Donnie, don't you never get sick. I do. But I still believe my Bible says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I believe not only in divine healing, I believe in divine health. Oh, and some of you, I know it's a battle for you. I know your health is a big battle. I understand that. Many of you abused yourself when you were young, and you're still paying the penalty for it right now. Don't blame it on God. Oh, Jesus. But you know what? You could probably talk yourself out of a lot of that ignorance of your youthful days if it sets your mind in the right focus. Brother Donnie, you're worrying me. Brother, I'm afraid you've studied too much. You've gone mad. Maybe I have. So where have you gone? I'll tell you what you do. You look and see what I believe and what I preach and see the effects it has on me. And I'll compare it to what you believe and what you do has on you. And then let's see which one I want. Okay? Let's see which one the people here in the church want. If you want to lead us, then come on and tell us what you've got. Show us what you've got. Put out the goods and let us make our choice. Some of you ain't got enough victory to even roll out of the bed and warn your wife. Has to kick you out the fifth time after the alarm go, oh, God, oh, no, here I go. And you want to tell me how to live a victorious life? Keep your advice to yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, saints. What kind of a Christian do we want to be? I want to be one that when I get up in the morning, the devil says, oh, no. Oh, no, not Donnie again. Brother Donnie, get real. You don't understand the real world. I think I do. Actually, I think I understand the real world. You see, this one, you ain't going to last much longer. I think I really do understand, but you're 62. I know that already. But surely you'll lose some of your vitality. Sure. You start losing some of your memory. No doubt. Maybe some of my hearing may go, this and that and the other. I ain't going to fit my soul. I mean, as long as y'all let me, if you got to roll me out in a wheelchair, hallelujah, I'll sit here with that old microphone. Glory to God. I remember them old days, hallelujah. And I used to get up here and preach, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will hit me, and I'll jump out of that wheelchair, and we'll have a time. Do you understand people who think positively? Age different than those who think negatively. Brother Donnie, that ain't even sensible. I know it runs in my family enough to be sensible. My father, Abraham, kind of running his family. You know, it kind of passed down to the genes to me. He's 100 years old, but he did not look at the deadness of his body nor the deadness of Sarah's body. One of my brothers, y'all remember him, I've talked about you before about my family tree. One of my brothers, his name was Caleb. He had hardly no encouragement at all. There was no message churches in the land. Hardly nobody around him to be able to encourage him. Praise be to God. They go to talking about it. Hey, Caleb, what are you saying? How's that land over there? Well, why don't you tell me what it's like? I mean, because you're getting up there in years, you know, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to go. What? What are you talking about? That prophet of God told me I'd have that mountain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm taking that mountain. Oh, okay. Right. Just calm down. Glory to God. Where is them big net Goliaths, them giants at? Okay. Sorry I asked. Finally, when they get up in there and they head out to the land, they begin to drive them out. What do? They make them giants leave the head to the south. While they head south, the children of Israel go north. They keep conquering and conquering and conquering. By the time they turn around and come back, and Caleb comes to his south land, them boys move back in. He said, fine, I wanted to kill you anyway. On his birthday, birthday, on his birthday, he stood up and said, I'm just as able to go out. And oh yeah, in case you're wondering, to come back in. And we'll be packing him back. You ain't packing me back in. I'll walk back. Praise God. Why? God made a promise. Friends, if these things are true medically, and this is just for the person that's not even born again, what ought it to be with us with the Holy Ghost? But Tim, this is just medically for the natural people. Do you understand that even cancer doctors and the many of them are going back to school and they're learning how to talk to patients? Many doctors are going back because of these new things they're finding out and learning how to talk. How to talk to their people because they've learned certain things they say can have such an impact upon their people. Their patients. Well, if a doctor ought to do that, what about some of our preachers? What about some of you daddies? What about some of you mamas? Amen! Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All of you have experienced this. You ever have something to happen to you? And all of a sudden a thought will trigger a pleasant experience you had. And something will come over your body. Your body just released an endorphin. Those memory paths of the neurons in your brain. And it released that chemical out of your body. And this sensation come over your body. Glory to God. I ran into a brother this week. He was telling me, Brother John had stood up and said something here Wednesday night about been so anticipating church and looking so forward to it. Brother told me how he used to be in sin. Smoke coke. Every way you could take it, he took it. Marijuana. All kinds of different things. But he said, he said, you're in church Wednesday night. And Brother John talking about being under anticipation of church. That feeling, that euphoria come over him. A flashback of what it was back yonder. But he said, Brother Donnie, of all the things that I tried, all the drugs and all the alcohol and all the things that I tried, there was nothing like the feeling of the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Me and him stood there in Lowe's, both of us crying, just rejoicing in the presence of God. Oh, you say you ain't been there. That's right, I ain't. But he had been. There was a man that had tried this and that and the other, looking to satisfy that thirst, but couldn't find it. But one day the Holy Ghost got a hold of him and changed him and gave him a euphoria that nothing external could ever produce. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I find it so amazing how you make these bodies. Lord, if we've just had cells and tissues and bones and muscles and ligaments and all of that and didn't have all these chemicals and things going on inside of our body, what a strange creature would be. Our emotions, our temperament, those things being affected. Lord, as studying this, Father, in the last couple of weeks, made me to realize Satan, the great scientist, has broken into the understanding of the human body. He understands by negativity, negative thoughts, negative confession, corrupt communication, by our mistakes and our failures. Then we think about them over and over again. Lord, it releases all these things in us. Then these feelings come upon us. Then that liar that deceiver broke into the chemicals outside of the human body and come up with things to try to get people to take from without their body, in their body, that's almost identical to what they have, except larger doses of it, to produce this feeling of euphoria. But then when they come down, they need more and more and more. He knows what he's doing. Oh, he's a scientist. He perverts what you've made. Lord God, help us, I pray tonight, Jesus. Help us to take these words down to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, we love you. We love you with all of our hearts. Don't you love him, children? Don't you appreciate his goodness? How many needs help with your thinking? How many needs to clean out some of your stinking thinking? Get rid of them rotten foxes that try to corrupt your communication. Praise God. You believe the Lord will help you if you ask him? Amen. Can we lay our hands on one another? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Remember now, this type of thinking negative is communication. It's not just, well, I don't ever talk negative, Brother Donnie, about myself. No, some of you don't do it about yourself, but you do it about other people. So it's still negative. There's a balance. Everything we do. Some of you serve and serve and serve, and you lose your reward because you go around telling everybody about it. There's such a balance in everything we do, what we let out of our mouths. God will never give many of us great supernatural experiences because he can't trust us. He does one little thing for us and we tell everybody and their brother, when many of those things are intended for us alone, not everybody else. Oh, Jesus, help us, God. Lord, help us to be like David, that we set a watch over our mouth. Lord, if we just believe the scriptures tonight, the power of life and death lay in the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Lord, help us that we, as your people, oh God, can apply these simple truths. It will change our lives. Not just to be positive about ourselves and try to keep negativity away from ourselves, but Lord, even in the way that we look at others. When we hear this brother's done this, or this sister has done that, does their negativity run toward them? And those endorphins, those awful feelings come in our heart, our lives, when that person's name is mentioned. Oh, we may ever be so positive for ourselves, but negative toward others. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Help us to love what you love, hate what you hate, stand for what you stand for, and stand against what you stand against, and do it all with a Christ-like spirit. Oh, Jesus, we beseech you tonight, Lord God. May we do, oh Lord, as David said, to put that bridle in our mouth. But God, may we not be so stubborn and hard-headed that it has to be a bit of steel. Lord God, may it not have to be a bit that is so difficult and so hard. Lord, having rode with horses and dealt with them a little bit according to the contour and the bent of the bit and the mouse, the horse itself has a great deal to do with what kind of bit's used. Lord, help us as Christians, I pray, Father. Lord Jesus, that we don't have to have a great, hard, difficult bit in our mouth. The least little nudge, Lord. I remember that quarter horse I used to have, Lord, that racing horse, barrel racing horse. Oh, how he was, Lord, with that them reins on his mouth. I didn't even have to use a bit in his mouth. I basically just put a halter on him, Lord. He was halter broke. I just have to touch the rein against his neck. That's all I had to do. And he would turn, he would spin in circles so fast, it'd make me dizzy. Didn't even have a bit in his mouth. He was so trained and so broke. Oh God, help us as your children, that we can be so submissive to the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord God, we're so broke that the Word of God lays on our shoulders. It lays on our hearts. Hallelujah. You want us to go this way? We go. You want us to go that way? We go. You want us to back up? We back up. You want us to, whatever you want us to do, we do it, Lord. We're not so stubborn and so hard-headed, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being merciful to us, Lord, in the weakness of our humanity. We love you tonight, blessed Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, don't you love him, saints? Don't you just appreciate his grace? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change my heart, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just worship him a little bit? I'm sure you know today that Johnson City had a great big parade going on downtown of a certain category of people. And then there was another category of people that was going to meet there because they was against that category of people. And then there was another category of people that was against the second category of people. So one of the police officers from our church that texted me this morning said, Brother Don, pray for us today. We've got quite a challenge. It has the potential of being an explosive situation. I thought, you know, they're going to be gathering there, invading our little old town, our little old place for their cause. For their cause. Promoting what they feel is the agenda of the day. Then I guarantee you, friends, we ought not be ashamed. And our cause, it deserves our very best tonight. People met in downtown Johnson City today to do their parading of this and that and the other because they believe in that agenda. I believe even more so in what we have talked about tonight, don't you? That's right. Not only is this worth dying for, it's worth living for. Praise be to God. We owe it our all, friends. We owe it our all. Let's sing together. Can we just worship him a little bit? Oh, my. My, my. You know, friends, we're not happy enough. Do you know that even a fake smile, a fake smile on your face will release things in the neurons in your brain that will drive away negativity. I hope you understand. I'm sure those of you that have been in church for years and years, you've noticed in the last 15, 20 years why that preachers make people laugh more. And some of you, it's puzzled you, and some of you have even questioned it and not even liked it. God knows what he's doing. We're too sad. We're too long-faced. God wants us to be happy. I'm not talking about foolishness happy. I'm talking about real happiness. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Go ahead, just fake it if you have to. It'll help you. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing it, hey. Praise God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Let's worship him a little now, can we, before we go? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Change my heart, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Everybody now. Let me be like you, Lord Jesus. Sing it again. Change my heart. Change me, Lord God. Amen. Make me ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
May I be like you.
Amen. Sing the verse now. Change our unbelief. Take away our fear, our stress, our anxiety, Lord God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
May I be.
once again. Oh, Lord. Amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. From Brother Michael, be no Sunday school in the morning, so remember that. Praise God. God bless you, saints. Let's come back in the morning expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. Amen. Take my word for it. We have some wonderful things to look at. Praise God. So what's going to happen then? Well, you see, as you keep hearing this word, you're being transformed. You're being changed. That's why you're fighting such battles. Years ago, when you come to the message, many of you fought and you laid aside this habit and that habit and this and that and the other. You was fighting to get your land. Now your battle has changed. Now what you're doing is fighting to keep it. You see, once you get your land, your perimeter, your boundaries as children of God, then the devil will come right back around as the children of Israel went through that time. After they took it, then they had years and years, decades, centuries of people trying to come in and take what God gave them. It's the same with you and I. Satan will do his best to come in and take. And guess what? Sometimes he will take part of your parcel. But don't you let him keep it. You stand right there and you fight like never before. God, I want my land back. This has got my name on it. Devil, you ain't got. You may have it now, but you're a squatter. You ain't got the deed. I've got the deed. It belongs to me. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's sing the song, We Shall Be Changed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, we shall be changed. We shall be changed.
In the twinkling of an eye. Oh, we shall be changed. Change from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, change from this mortal to immortality. Twinkling of an eye. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, changed from this mortal to immortality. In the twinkling of. Mortal to me.
yes, mortal to immortality, in the twinkling of an eye. Who shall be changed? Oh, we shall be changed. Oh, changed from this mortal to immortality.
Change.